It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday, June 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The Women's World Cup starts in 2 days, and to say nothing of FIFA corruption arrests and allegations, there's been a lot of attention around the event, both in the real world and in the gaming world. EA Sports recently announced a version of its FIFA soccer video game franchise, and for the first time, some of the characters are women. Some might say it's a long time coming. Others might point to new interest in women's soccer. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn reports.
Fernanda Chabarum grew up in Brazil playing soccer and soccer video games.
I think the first game that I played was the World Cup 98.
Which means she's played video game soccer for 17 years. And the number of times she's controlled a player of her own gender?
None. It was kind of difficult not having anything to relate to.
Which is why she started a petition back in 2012, which Electronic Arts is finally answering by adding a dozen female teams to FIFA 16. Why now?
FIFA represents like a quarter of Electronic Arts' profits.
Video game designer Ian Bogost thinks fundamentally they just want to sell more games. But seeing women as potential gamers is a shift from what he calls a kind of dark ages.
Games really deeply re-entrenched themselves as a medium for men, for adolescent boys, and one that was meant to represent their fantasies. And so we're coming out of that, perhaps.
He thinks the timing is right now to put women in sports games of all kinds. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
In a matter of weeks, we've seen two computer bugs that are so easy to spread they seem like the result of evil genius. The first is a string of symbols and Arabic letters that could crash an iPhone by simply sending a text message to that phone. Apple scrambled for a fix and delivered it within days. The second appeared this week on Skype. Users discovered that a simple 8-character string could crash the messaging service and make it impossible to open again without further crashes. We caught up with Chester Wisniewski of the cybersecurity firm Sophos at a conference in London. Hi, Chester.
Hey, Ben.
Why is it that we've seen two examples of this in just a matter of weeks here?
Well, I think it's one of these things where once you start looking for a problem, you start finding it everywhere. And, you know, when one person finds a bug like this, I think a lot of other people go, ooh, I wonder if this is going to crop up in other places. And sure enough, it has.
Can you walk me through the sort of technical side of this? What's actually happening here that creates this constant loop of crashing an app for the user?
So in the case of the iPhone bugs, it's an Arabic character that must not have been tested for and maybe is outside the bounds of what the program expected. And when it gets something unexpected, it crashes.
Is there anything else you find interesting about this particular kind of bug? I mean, it seems really simple and repeatable by any regular user. It's not like a hacker would have to do this. Once someone finds out about it, they could kind of wreak havoc.
Yeah, these bugs are quite scary, actually, because these same types of bugs can often be used to exploit programs as well, to get them to run malicious code that you wouldn't want to run instead of just crashing. And that's a much more concerning angle on these, and hopefully we'll see the fixes come out from Apple and Microsoft very soon.
Chester Wisniewski from the streets of London. Chester, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
As part of our ongoing series, it's time to go back to Back to the Future Part 2. The 1989 movie about time travel made a lot of techie predictions about what would exist in the year 2015, and now we're here. So we're checking on those predictions. Today, we're going to look at something that you could easily miss in the movie. It's this part where you see a dog being walked in Marty McFly's neighborhood by a flying robot. Do we have those? Well, technologist Jeff Myers made a video a little while back showing a dog being walked by a drone. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for chatting.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Did your idea for a dog walking drone come from Back to the Future Part 2?
No, it honestly didn't. I'd seen that movie a long time ago, but it wasn't until someone pinged me and told me that I was referenced on the Back to the Future wiki that I realized that people were under the understanding that I was building something as like a tribute to the movie.
How does what you built work?
Well, so it actually was a concept project, right? So the software to define the route of the drone was not something that I built, although there are kind of more fundamental issues with why this would not work as like a commercial product, regulation being one, and you'd need probably an industrial type of drone.
You'd need a much more powerful drone to hold that dog back if it saw another dog, for sure.
Correct, yep.
Why do you think we're so fascinated with this idea of automating our chores?
We're already in a society where robots and software run a lot of our sort of more menial tasks. And even just the concept of like humans owning the life of like a subservient species, and then to not even take the time to go out and walk them and have software do it, you know, really intrigues people or pisses people off or scares people.
How did the dog in your video feel about its robot walker overlord?
So it's my mom's dog. She was just kind of going with the flow. Maybe it's like a little bit interested, a little bit kind of weirded out, but it's not a huge drone. She knew she wasn't in danger, I think.
So until drones can be a little bit more accurate in how they operate close to the ground, until the FAA makes some decisions, the Dog Walkers Union has no reason to protest you.
They've been picketing my apartment for weeks, but no, yeah, I think that it's, if ever it's as a commercial product, maybe 10 years away, not in the near future.
Jeff Myers is a technologist who imagined a world where drones could take dogs for walks. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
If you want to write us your thoughts about this series, you can email us at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.